Show the world and all its people all the wonders love can bring. Give us strength and understanding. Give us all one song to sing. Let the music play. Play it loud and make it clear. It's time to stand up to a new world that is now so near. From the bottom to the top, to the leaders of the land, we all have one heart. Every one of us must lend a hand. Let there be. Let there be for all the world. We've got to see that love, oh love, what a blessed thing. Oh yeah, say it loud. Get clear today. All the walls are falling down. No more children off to war. If we search in our hearts, all this suffering will be no more.
And let there be joy in the world.
Let there be.
And let there be no sorrow.
Let there be. God's children, let them be.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. All kinds of jazz going on here. Thank you for joining me. Wanted to get going, and that was Mr. Lionel Richie. 524-1080 is the number if you're interested in calling. And I know many of you are out there a little upset and disturbed or bewildered right now with the current news of the health care issue and Medicaid. So if you out there and you want to share your thoughts about this, and maybe the people up there in Washington on both sides will hear from you. So you're more than welcome to call in, share your opinions. And I'm sure, as I've spoken to a number of people now on the subject, many of you are just frightened because there's so many uncertainties that are being presented with this. What are you going to do? In the old days, we used to talk about there are people that making grave sacrifices opposed to medication, cutting it in half, the pills, and rationing the pills, and some people were resorting to eating pet food because of the cost of living and the cost just trying to survive. With what's going on now, I don't know how it's going to affect many of us, but I suspect it will be have a devastating impact. And if you are interested, share with the other listeners. Feel free. 524-1080 is the number. Now, one of the things that I wanted to do is talk about, again, as usual, our government and the function of government and how it's working and not working and what they're doing there. And many of you know back in December of last year, the Thomas Square was actually closed down, and they built a nice fence around it. And when I mean fence, it's as if they were trying to keep sunlight out. And they spent $1,189,000, or that is the budget for this project that they talk about. And so if you are interested, has there been any changes? And I'm talking about Thomas Square there, and many of you know where it is, but it's under the Department of Design and Construction within the city, and the architecture engineer is PBR Hawaii, and the contractor performing the work is Ideal Construction. And the contract award amount is $1,180,200 in some sense. Now, if you are able to take a peek over the wall there, where there's a little puka or what have you, or if you fly a drone or what have you, you'll notice in the 6 months, nothing has really changed. Now, they may have put in a few sprinkler heads and what have you, and they may have planted some grass, but 6 months and $1 million, $1,189,000, you would think they would have been able to open it. And the question is, why would they put such fortified fence up? You would think they were trying to keep the Iraqis out or something. Or maybe staying at home, maybe it was they were trying to keep human beings out of there, and those human beings that are homeless. And I know that many of you feel that it's an unsightly situation that the homeless are there, but I think that what you see is the product, or the end product, of people that are lying, people that are thieving, people that are cheating, people that are deceiving us, people that are living on the high side of life, drawing a government salary, hiring the friends, spending money left and right, and as if it's an unlimited resource. And so what they do then, we have this Nazi effort now to constantly beat back the homeless. It's not getting any better. And so I was wondering if we, you and me, and we don't seem to speak out, we go halfway and we talk about how sad it is, the conditions of the homeless and other people that are struggling. But that's where we stop. We give lip service. And so it comes to no surprise or no shock to me that now this monster is inching its way into your lives. Those people that have always said, I'll stay out of trouble, and I know that the nail that sticks up gets pounded. But sometimes you don't have to stick up. The people will come by and pound you anyway. And I think, and in that term, I had a discussion with a couple people over the weekend and last week. And where are we failing? We tolerate the presence and the placement of a fence around Thomas Square when they could have made half of it or done whatever, but for 6 months. Thank you, Carlo. Go ahead with your comments.
Hey, what's up, Carol Cox?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You have a comment for what we're discussing?
Oh, not really. I was trying to say hello. It's the Dodgers and Rockies.
Okay, well, some of us have more time on our hands than we have good intentions, so thank you for calling, and we appreciate it, and hadn't heard you for a long time, but it's a blessing, so thank you again. But what goes on with the situation here, and are we, I think we've said this hundreds and hundreds of times, that if it's not you today, then who tomorrow? And with this, these styles of governance, and with the thieves in the city hall and state capitol, just willing to operate without impunity, or with impunity, and doing that, this is what they do. They tolerate, number one, things that impact you and I. For example, there should be some kind of protection. Now, federal employees get COLA, cost of living allowance, and because of this economy is high, you see. And so federal agencies also, in some instances, when a person transfer here, they buy the house, and the government guarantee them to buy their house if they can't sell it. So a person that is striving to invest transfers here, buys a nice house, gets into the market. That drives the price up because he or she knows that the government is going to guarantee buying that house, or they're not going to lose any money. So then you have the military renting. Subsidized renting. Now, I don't mean to say that these are bad things, and be patient with me, and then we'll get somewhere on this, and you can give me your insight. But military pays rent, drives up the rent in these areas, because it's clearly it's not coming out of the pocket of the individual, like you and I, where we struggle to make. Then there is the purchase buyback with the federal government. They get COLA. Then VA, no down payment. You're competing with that. Bed and breakfast, rentals. That's adding a drain on the economy, or taxing the available units in rental. Not what percentage, I don't know. Then vacation rentals. So what about our legislators? What about Colleen Hanabusa, who today is the congresswoman, but tomorrow she'll probably be back running hard, and then the next day she'll be somewhere else running something else, but we don't see any kind of legislation to put in place or debated or discussed or written that would protect those people that does not fall in those groups. And the, all of these things, and with the high rises and the expenses, the expensive buildings now and property value, and then you take in the city taxes and the state taxes and the federal taxes. How do we survive? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, Carol, yeah. Thank you for taking my call. Concerned about the Thomas Square. Remember, I think a few years in 2013, the mayor put these planters around the sidewalks of Baratania and King Street.
I do remember that clearly.
In Honolulu, and you sent me some stuff. And I contacted Ikaika Anderson and some other council members about it with your photos. And I talked to Ross Sasamura, you know, who's in charge of that. And he said they were in compliance with ADA. Even the mayor, when I went to a town hall meeting on the Winter side, he said, I'll take that question about that sidewalk at Thomas Square. He didn't let the director answer that.
Right.
And he said they were in compliance of the 36 inches. I said, but you don't understand. It was wide enough for two wheelchairs or scooters to pass side by side. Now the person will have to go in attention and then go and continue on. And if you're blind and those hibiscus plants are sticking out, you can't see. You get whacked right in the face. You know, it's like no compassion. You know, it's just do it, get the people out of there, and then leave these planters and make it harder for the disabled to get around.
Yeah, and then to be honest with you, it's difficult for just the regular pedestrian because you cannot. You'll see them. One will have to walk out in the street or on the curb.
Yeah.
Which traffic is coming from behind them,
uh-huh.
or depending on the direction. And so it's almost like you're being put in a moment of having to tightrope, walk
right.
a tightrope.
Uh-huh.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. Same thing with the sit and lie bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to Scott Morishige, the homeless person for the state,
mm-hmm.
Jay Pascoe for the city on our radio station. And tell them, are you violating ADA law, federal law, that, you know, you have supposed to have 36 inches, but these people are blocking the way of your path to get around, and you have to go on a street or a roadway in oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous. And then I contacted DCAB, Disability Communication Access Board, and they can't help me. So I said, what's the purpose? You know, there's a law in place since July 26, 1990. And that's supposed to supersede whatever the ADA to help us to get around. But
mm-hmm.
they don't have no solution. It's you clean it up, and they come back 2 hours later with their pallets, their tents.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have nice tents. I don't know where they're getting it from, but it's ridiculous. And concerning the rail, I don't know if you're going to talk about that.
Well, yes, I will and can and intend to, so help yourself.
Yeah,
whatever.
I attended a forum with the Hawaii League of Women Voters in 2013 with Ann Kobayashi on the panel, Nancy Owasi, she also accountant, and she testified to city council with three other people on the panel. They talked about how the rail is going to suck everything out from the departments of the city, and therefore it came true. And basically Ann Kobayashi says she doesn't understand what they're going to do. Well, about, you know, the bonds, they can float $350 million worth of bonds recently. And then the city took away some marked crosswalks in Date Street. It was on KH12, June 8th of
mm-hmm.
this month. Reported that the city DTS took out the crosswalks on Date Street after the repavement because they said it was unsafe for people to walk across these marked crosswalks to go to the bus stop. So they have the disabled person in a scooter wheelchair saying that he can't go all the way down to the next block to take the crosswalk because there's no sidewalk on one side. So he says it's not accessible for him. And they're wondering why they can't put overhead street-like pedestrian sidewalk, crosswalk like they do on other places like North Kuakini Street. They had two crosswalks for pedestrians with a light overhead.
Mm-hmm.
But the money, I don't think it costs that much, you know, to put a light or a blinking light to let people know that somebody's crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Why make it hard for people who are disabled or the elderly to cross all the way down, and they go all the way back up just to catch the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and it's not an ADA violation. I check with DCAB again, Disability Communication Access Board, and it doesn't come under the mandate of Title II of the ADA to provide accessibility when they make changes like this.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a Indian giver. They give you the stuff and they take it away.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say an Indian giver. I would say politicians, and I'm very cautious. When I use that, I want to hear my tongue make skid marks against my jaw. You know, it's Indian given. I'm not speaking to saying anything about your comments, but what I will say is that they are a snake in the grass is a snake in the grass, and what we have here is a mayor who is bankrupt of ethics. A mayor who wouldn't be able to find his way out of a smoky room if there was a beacon that says ethics over here or exit over here. He couldn't.
Yeah.
He's too conflicted. He's complicit in most of the things, and it's his responsibility. And I try to lay that out. I think it's a bad thing to call someone corrupt and crooked and just completely ignorant. It's bad, and it's probably the most impolite thing to do to anyone, especially over the air and what have you. But I have demonstrated time and time again, and I'm going to talk about another situation here about the H power. But I was engaged in a conversation with some of the city leaders and city workers and their discussion, and they're hell bent on saying that all the trash you see along the roads and in communities, it's the homeless.
Right.
Now, it's one thing to fail in your management practices and fail to deliver, and because you say when you're campaigning, you say you're the smartest and brightest bulb in the lamp, and nobody can outdo you, outshine you, or outthink you. But the reality is, a great portion of this trash that you see along the roadways is more than a simple poor management of bulky item pickup, bulky item management. And so they get to hide behind that and then blame the homeless. And then they would love to show you what the homeless are doing on the Nimitz Highway. Whack-a-mole? Not really. It's just in dehumanizing people to cover their own failed policies and their phony administration, because they have gone out and bought a big car and can't afford the tires, can't afford the gasoline. So guess what? To afford the gasoline, they got to steal from some other project. To afford the tires or the rails, they got to steal from other projects. And so if you look, they say, well, we're paving so many streets. But if you really pay close attention, why do they paving cul-de-sacs sometimes when you look at them? They are just as good as the day they were put in.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you witnessed that, but again, the bus system. Uh-huh. All of that, we know, and we said, you've said it many times, they're going to take away the money from the bus, divert it, uh-huh. Even handy vans, divert it. And so all of these failed practices, all of them, lay squarely in the mayor's lap. So when I say I had an umbrella that covered everybody, the state legislators, city council, the mayor, and our federal leaders, elected officials, here's why. They get money that's earmarked, and they stand by and they watch them violate ADA. They watch them violate the civil rights of the citizens of this state, a citizen of this country. Whether they are homeless or have a mansion, they still have civil rights. And I know it's unsightly. I cringe when I walk the bike path and see and find needles and things like that. But again, that's a result of a system of liars and cheats who's running. And the state legislators now entertaining this new session, that this special session that speaks clearly to the corrupt, dysfunctional, poorly managed, and inexperienced, and the people that call themselves legislators. They have no clue, but they know what they want out of this. You see, we're spending money hand over fist. We're wasting money. And guess what? We still have homeless. We had homeless increasing, and we haven't addressed any of the ADA issues in many of the places still yet, down at Kakaako, along Ward Center, and all those areas on the sidewalks,
right.
You see. And it's, I don't know what's going to give, but I think we're going to see more people that are homeless, more disabled that are homeless. I really believe this, and I'm not trying to be the guy who sings bad news or, you know, bugling the bad news.
Yeah.
But there's an illness, and the illness sits in government, not with the people. You can't get, unless the people are conspiring and say, hey, let's get together and form us a homeless group. And let's just live under the bridges. Let's do that just to piss them off. I know that's not it. I think economically and releasing people onto the streets that do have mental issues and not just abandoning them.
Right.
So what does that do to our lives? The other day, did you see the news story on the dogs that bit the young man?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Now, I have encountered those dogs on many occasions over there. When I did the leachate story and it was over filming, that's at the Kihei transfer station, right, that middle street, across from Middle Street. That's where those dogs are.
Okay.
And others have been bitten by these dogs. Now, why wouldn't the city act on that? Instead, they wait until something happens, then they go, their contractor, the Humane Society, then takes an action when the dog bites someone. And more than likely, the dog is going to be euthanized. So what I'm getting at is that their policies and their practices and the way their administrations function will lend itself to the worst scenario, people dying, people getting sick, dogs or animals being euthanized because we don't have a clue when it comes to looking at the total picture, the big picture. And our legislators, our state legislators, should close the door on this man's fingers, Caldwell's fingers, when he come knocking. Just say, you know, we haven't heard you scream. All we've heard you say is a lie after a lie and a promise after a promise. Wait. Or is that Donald Trump? No, isn't that funny? We are critical of Donald Trump and we make fun of him for lying. And yet Kirk Caldwell can lie to you on Sunday, come back Sunday night and lie to you again. And then Monday morning you look at him, he's on TV lying again, spending money, not really controlling his spending, and not performing, you know, revolving door at heart.
Don't forget, Carol, the city council passed a bill to increase a 5% increase on the mayor and all the other people in the city in high authority.
Yeah.
But, you know, they raise everything for taxes.
Oh, that's what the Republicans do, man. That's what Republicans do. They're selfish. They are, oh no, I'm sorry, again, that's not Republicans, that's Democrats. Oh gosh, it's so confusing, man, to try and discern which is which now.
Right.
Oh, you know, and through all the policies of the Republicans, and I'm not campaigning for the Republican Party, but through all the bad times and the good times we've had,
right,
we've not seen this magnitude or this impact or this number of homeless people in the state of Hawaii. Now, you know what Caldwell will say? I'm going to speak for him. Well, you know, people putting their homeless on a plane and sending them here. You know? Yeah, but you just put planters out in front of them to keep them from walking on the sidewalk, and then you got sued and lost your butt. And you got sued again and you lost. Wait, that was Donald Trump that was had a ban on this and that, right?
And Carol, you know, a lot of those people on the homeless, they can't afford their rent in Hawaii. It's so high with these A&Bs and timeshares, and everybody's just making money off of these things.
Yeah. Well, I would never run for mayor because I don't have the smarts to do it.
Uh-huh.
I have the heart, but then I'd be giving all the money away. I wouldn't manage it properly.
Right.
But I think that somewhere in there I would have an honest streak, and I would communicate to people truthfully. I wouldn't engage in selling them a train for $4 billion, and then now it's $20 billion, and you still don't know who's going to have handle over the electrical cord.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, who's going to pay for that long extension cord?
Right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not so critical of this guy, but he is leading the charge, and behind him, the governor. You think the governor will sign, if he's, it's left up to him, he'll sign the bill if the Psyche and Ron Cochi are successful in herding the sheeple there that in the legislation, the legislative body?
Mm-hmm.
You think, what do you think? What's your prediction?
You know, it's ridiculous how they process this thing in the legislature. It's a city project. The city should take care of their own.
Yeah.
That's what Jill Takuda said. I don't want to see you back here, you know, in 2015. Come back here for more money.
Yeah.
And then she stood up for her rights, and look what happened to her. She's gone. Away from me.
Yeah, and did you hear anybody screaming from the people, the population, the general population?
No.
No. You see, it's like I marvel at the, and remind myself, when I first started here, I used to say, I say things, and they'd say, "Bruh, we don't talk like that here. We have Pono. We get along with one another. We don't. That's too harsh."
Yeah.
And I'm saying, no, I've just seen this play before. I can tell you the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the small man loses in all of these plays.
Yeah.
It's an opera. They all lose because people get in with good intentions. And then, as they say, they come in to do good, and then they get in and they do well for themselves.
Right.
And that's what we have here.
The old boy network. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know where the greatest insult is. If you want to see how petty and how disrespectful we are to the voting population and to the citizens, is just take the Colleen Hanabusa process. The in and out, the revolving door. This is not a playground or a romper room. This is reality, and these decisions and these cost people.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts people's lives,
right,
and leave them in a lurch, just hanging and dangling, waiting for the next moment to be victimized with another expensive bill.
Right.
Brennan Morioka, mm-hmm, the guy who shepherded this thing in, couldn't charging up the hill, you know, lying to people, make false representations and when he was in government.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn, where is he? Is he stepping down?
No.
I thought there was some saying that, is he still with Hart? I thought the paper today, there was some mention, if I don't have it in front of me, but something about stepping down. I don't know, but if you have the accuracy, give me a call.
Yeah.
But this is bad news, and so... Why would you see those they have sign language on around Blaisdell Park on the art now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you think that was to make it picturesque until and soothing until just wouldn't leave us a mess. But if you go on Baritania, mm-hmm, and Queen Emma Street or that Victoria Street.
Yeah, Victoria Street.
And walk along Baritania there, it looks like the jungle. Weeds all grown over, orange fencing just wrapped up, right?
Uh-huh.
Unsightly. And that's what they were claiming that the homeless was presenting.
Uh-huh.
So what really, in my assessment, taking that long, and if you were to peer over, as I said earlier, if you were to look over the fence, you'd know that it was never. It's all about the homeless, beating them back and driving them out. And if you walk around, you know how you put one board on top of the other board? Okay, that stands about 10 feet, I'm going to say, approximately 10 feet stacked on one another. You cannot. You walk the entire length of that, around that facility there, and you can't look through the cracks. They were intending to conceal everything to let you know that they are back there working hard. And nothing has been done. And then they put another three feet of black construction cloth on top of that, right?
Uh-huh.
If you look down underneath to look in, they have what they call the BMPs, or the wood chips in the sock and a silt screen. But again, nothing has been done. And if you want to see those pictures, you can go to carolcox.com. They were taken just Friday. And it's unfortunate. But what are we going to do? What Medicaid, how is it going to impact you while I got you? Are you concerned, or are you set pretty good that...
Well, I'm not on Medicaid right now, but I have friends that are in family community, family care homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Medicaid clients, you know, and they're taking care of. What's going to happen when the funds is not there? What's going to happen to all these people?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put them in the big arcs because they won't take Medicaid. They take private pay.
Right.
That's where they make their money off, you know. They're not going to take these people that maybe $2,600 a month. That's dropping the bucket for them.
Right. They're looking for...
$8,000, $10,000 a month, you know.
And these facilities are for profit.
Right.
I'm not going to say they don't care about human beings, but it seems that they're for profit.
Right. And there was a bill called HB 1396, was introduced by Mizuno this past session, was passed. It's on the governor's desk to allow for a private pay. I think there was a couple in Kaneohe. A couple years ago, they was trying to be in the same community or care home family one. But because of the Medicaid situation, they couldn't have the wife come with the husband because that would take away a Medicaid debt. But why separate a private pay if they want to be together in that kind of environment? Because the husband couldn't go back in the ARC. His care of health care deteriorated, so he needed more specialized care.
Mm-hmm.
The arts couldn't do it, the big facilities. They don't have the nurse and everything to have 24 hours or to help him. So
wow.
That's why you had to go to a family community care home. But the law is so different than compared to other states like Oregon and some other ones that have a better law to help the people with private pay and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't we follow maybe Oregon, who has 5 people, 3 Medicaid and 2 private pay? But they don't do that. They make it more harder on this bill for a private pay individual to go through to get into a family community care home.
Mm.
And that's why there's a lawsuit in federal court, Hawaii federal court, or U.S. federal court, advocating for this couple. They're together. The judge granted them to be together while they go through the court process. But this is another thing with the governor, Doug Chin, and then the two Department of Human Services and Department of Health directors say that they don't agree with this private pay couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? That's their civil rights. That's the 14th Amendment, they say. And I don't understand that. So.
Well, if it's funny, on today they approach you with an explanation they need X number of billions.
Right.
Tomorrow they've crafted another explanation for the same matter they're working on and needed the money and said that was enough. Remember the rail, how they
right.
incrementalized it, took it in, then they needed more, and then they needed some more, and then it's like, when will this thing stop?
Yeah.
And is there any common decency amongst anybody? I think at this point, $20 billion, you know how it works. If the government says $20
billion,
and that's the federal government, it's about $35 billion. If the city say it's $20 billion, it's going to be about $60 billion because they got their hands out. They don't have any money, right, other than taxing the people that visit here or taxing homeowners or, you know, or sales tax. Are they nuts?
Yeah, it's taxation with no solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but... I know that many of you out there will probably say, boy, this guy is foul-mouthed, and he needs to go take some feng shui or classes or something. But you know enough already. When I see human beings being treated and pushed around by police units and dump trucks and all of that, and then they get sued, they lose in court, they being the government, and then they take up another action against them.
We're tired of being second-class citizens.
Yeah. And You know, I when I first got here, I thought, wow, you know, this is pretty cool. This is a great place because most people emerge from the plantation. It was a plantation state, you know, operated by the Big Five and what have you. And look at all these people in government, and they have a reason to do what's right by all people, because they too struggle to get off of the plantation and put that sickle down and go off to college, right?
Right.
And live in America free and healthy and with medical care and all those things and educated.
Yeah. Even the Asian Americans in World War II, the 442nd, 100 battalions, they had to prove their loyalty to a country that treated them by putting them in internment camps on the mainland. Fortunately, we didn't have to do that down here, but some did go. And it was cruelty. It was their civil rights were violated.
Yeah.
And they had to prove their loyalty. And they came back. They tried to make a better future for their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But now the second and third generation of that group is totally different compared to what their fathers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, where are,
is,
you know, is this a beautiful country or is this a snake pit?
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, we're starting to eat our own young.
Uh-huh.
It's animalistic in a sense, and giving animals a bad name, the way we devour. And, you know, Jill Takuda, what she did was admirable.
Aloha.
You know,
and give her credit for that.
And it's sad. It's like, wow. And then you look at, just because she said no, and the people would benefit from that, right? They had a major reshuffle. Like, if you don't carry our load or you don't carry our line, you're out.
Yeah.
That sounds like mafia, man.
Oh, yeah. Correct, Carol. You put it on the point.
I'm surprised she didn't wake up with a horse and a rhino head on her bed.
Right.
With these guys. I mean, Psyche,
uh-huh.
All of a sudden he's an expert, but always laying low. Uh-huh. Like, that's what snakes do.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kochi, oh, he's not available for comment.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to make such a drastic change and have such a major action taken by having a special session, and he's not available for public comment?
Yeah.
He's on the island? Come on, he's a nice guy if you go through life looking at someone to smile and talk small talk. But when it comes to governance, how does one tolerate this or present themselves that way? If you're going to make such a major decision, you at least owe the people an explanation or an opportunity to them to ask you questions or get a clear answer. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, be transparent.
Right. You see, I say that's what the mafia does. I don't know what they call it here, what would be the English term for, what is the Hawaiiana term for corruption, thieves, and what have you in government. What is that?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what's going to happen is that, as a result, someone's going to get the short end of the stick,
yeah.
And it'll be at the hands and of Ron Kochi, Psyche, and the other people that vote and couldn't stand tall with Jill Takuda. I thought, wow, I was really moved by that, you know, that she would actually stand up.
Stand her ground.
And so what happened? We're going to show you. You seem to care for the people, or that action will benefit the people, and that's not what we're about, sister. You got to go. Psyche, you take over, and I understand Kochi Takuda was one who stepped back to let him run for office initially.
Right.
I don't know all that to be true, but this is what I've heard, and so that's how he rewards her. I mean, I know it's not a personal game, but one should show some loyalty and some honesty and be guided by the needs of the people, not the needs. It's not even a partisan thing, is it?
No. It's a totally new Democratic Party with these young individuals.
Yeah, but I've said this before. if the Democratic Party wants to see where they're failing and why people in general come to Hawaii, they all should come to Hawaii and visit for about a month, all of our national representatives and our national leaders. Come here to Hawaii, those so-called Democrats that care for the people, and watch how this town functions. They'd probably deport them all. They'd be at Trump's office going, go ahead, to hell with this. We just need to get rid of them. They, you know, don't build a wall yet. We're going to send them out down through Texas and, you know, banish them from American soil, because it's un-American. People don't just go on the bridges and live and in parks and bike paths and right. and every overpass just because they want to do that. They're trying to survive and struggle with the cost of living, the drug problems that they may have, the mental problems they have, the unfortunate situations they have. You can get sick, and in 2 weeks, your whole life is flipped over on its back.
Right.
Because you can't afford it. You don't have care. So we need some passion, man.
Right.
You know, something, and I don't mean passion fruit. We need some human love or something.
Right.
And this is not what I saw as a aloha and the ha, right?
Right.
So anyway.
Thanks a lot, Carol, for all your words.
Thank you, man. We'll talk to you again. Now, we'll be back in the next hour, and I'm going to lay out a little bit of how the mayor spends the money and how his administration is trying to meet a requirement for a consent decree and the contractor defaults, and now the city's left holding the bag and got to go and start all over again.
Yeah, thanks for your radio show.
All righty, brother.
Aloha.
Okay, Lord, thank you.
Bye.
Well, folks, I know we can talk about many of things in baseball and football, and we'd all join in. But we have a crisis here, folks. And anyway, you know, you can pick me up on thinktech.com, thinktechhawaii.com, or Olelo on Sundays at 1 o'clock on Channel 54, Thursdays at Channel 54. And we're going to take a break for a bit here. We'll be right back.
CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080.
Got this feeling deep inside me.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Aloha, I'm Jay Fidel, CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I'm trying to make some adjustments here and dropped all of my papers and so trying to put them back together so I can make sense of nonsense. So anyway, thank you for joining. This is the Carol Cox Show, as Mr. Francis had already announced. And again, you hear me playing the ThinkTech Hawaii. Go there, and also you might want, if you have topics that you want to get out there, it's a forum that you can contact ThinkTech Hawaii and see if they're interested, like any other news source. And Jay is trying to make available an access for the voice of the communities here. Very good program, and I encourage you, as I have done and gotten involved, and I love it. And thinktechhawaii.com. Go there on the website, and you can talk with them over the internet, and or you can listen to shows that are posted. You know, sometimes you're sitting around and you're tired of hearing the same repeated news and the shows being repeated over and over, and you can learn something new. So anyway, a while back we talked about the H-Power, and H-Power's building of the photovoltaic building as a result of a consent decree with the EPA and the city and county of Honolulu for failing to install a gas capturing system at Kapa'a Quarry landfill. Now, they have until 2020 to build this building, and it's supposed to be, if I recall, $16 million must be spent to build this as of, and it must run for approximately 3 years. And that's an SEP, Special Environmental Project, that the EPA so nicely required the city to get things done. As a compensation, in other words, you get caught doing something wrong. And this is, again, speaks to why many of the people on the right have a right to ask these questions. What the heck is going on? Because you get caught. This is the EPA. They have rules. There are specific rules. They're protecting the environment. And then you have a landfill that's emitting gases, and gases that are volatile, and gases that are a threat to the environment, and threat to the ozone, and threat to the global weather. And you allow this facility to breathe these gases from the rotting trash and decaying trash and polyvinyl chlorides, methanes, and all of those. And the EPA, as we know it before Trump, basically, and you've heard me say that I'm hoping for these reasons that Donald Trump eviscerate the EPA, not because I agree with Donald Trump in the sense that he wants to take away environmental protections, but when a regulatory body becomes so light-handed and treating things with kid gloves that they would allow the city and county of Honolulu to emit these gases and fail to install the system as required by federal law and then the Clean Air Act and all of that, and they fail. And so what is their reward? To get to build a photovoltaic building that would in turn invite the city to become more corrupt. And I think I'll demonstrate that to you today a little better than yesterday. So you get caught breaking the law, and they tell you, well, okay, you got caught, you didn't do what you're required, and so what we're going to do, we're going to punish you. We're going to punish you by making you build this solar voltaic building. And then in turn, it's going to fuel your, provide energy for your H-power, which you're burning trash now. It's burning trash. It sounds good, H-power, but it's just basically trash and heat and air, ash and heavy metals and all of those things that are emitted from burning. So that's the EPA, the old pre-Trump EPA or the PT-EPA. So what I'm suggesting is that he needs to, we don't need heavy-handed, we just need the basic enforcement. If you get caught violating the law as the mayor or the manager, his director, and they fail to do what is required, put them in jail. You know, none of this, oh, okay, well, let's get together. You know, this was under Barack Obama's administration, and they got the sweetheart deal, and then in turn, nothing's working. And when I say nothing, the city and county of Honolulu, after strategizing and building with Covanta, who's leading, has a major role in the actual building and deciding what goes on at this facility, the solar voltaic building, they wanted to process white goods. Now, no one is, when they thought of this, came up with, they didn't have anybody on staff or with the understanding of the technology, but they did have a private party, Refrigerant Recycling, who was, have been doing this job, recycling white goods for some extended period of, number of years. I don't know how many, but a great many years. And so the city, basically, by hook and crook, wants to take the contract from this agency or this company, which I understand processes each white good or refrigerator for $11.50, maybe $11, I'll say. And the estimated cost for the new facility where they were going to put white goods in is going to cost them about $33. Who's going to pay that? Taxpayer, the owner, the generator. So why would the city even consider abandoning a private entity that is already doing the work to hire and bring under the roof of this and process it? So a year or so ago, we filed a complaint with the State Health Department and asked them to not permit this practice, because if they're not skilled at recycling, recovering freons and gases and oils, this chlorinated oils that's found in the compressor of each refrigerator, cooling unit, wine cooler, water cooler, or whatever that is, has a refrigerant system, and manage them properly, and that then that gas would be recycled and not be required to generate more, because a lot of the gases now, they've banned the production, and so there are new gases. So old equipment still exists, and the law allows them to use the old gas if they can get it. So win. We talk about sustainability. We talk about recycling. Here is a company, Refrigerant Recycling, a local company, been doing the business for a while. So, but the mayor decides to get a burr up his butt, or whatever you call it, in his shorts or whatever you get him. And under his administration, they proceed to rip and snip the contract. And when in fact the state told them you can't process white goods in this building. I had raised that issue after me filing the complaint, they told them. So they went silent. But I'm going to read you a couple of emails here and show you just how loose they are with our monies. Now, I'm going to jump around here, but here's one from Michael O'Keefe for Thursday, February 16, 2017. Does anyone remember the name of the national white goods recycling company that we met with at the City H Power office back in 2015? I think. This was a group discussion on how they could build an operation within the Solo building. If you don't remember, can you please ask around and find out? I need to include them in a list of potential service providers in the RFP, request for proposals. So another follow-up email internally there, this is with the city. Hi, Steve. Was curious if you had any more info on Jayco or the company that was formerly Jayco. No problem. If not, I'm just looking to build our potential list of white good recycle service providers, and I'm looking particularly at mainland orgs that might be interested in mobilizing to Hawaii for a 5 to 10 year contract. Jayco seemed like a pretty viable company. Let me repeat that. Jayco seemed like a pretty viable company. Then another email we recovered, it says that, well, it was Jayco. I believe they are operating under a different name or subset. I will track down next week when I get back to my office. And then another email followed that one, says, well, thanks, Chris. Per Wayne, I believe the name of the company is Jayco Environmental. I'm curious if you or Steve has any additional info on this company. Some Googling revealed that they might be out of business. Whoa, back up. I just thought that I read to you that they said that it was, believe they are operating on a different name and they were a pretty viable company. What happened? Just in a matter of weeks? Then, no problem. If not, we have a consultant that can look into it. So, again, this is starting to look and smell like something's rotten in Denmark. This is why you see when you learn the amount of monies and the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that these people, one, they have, this is supposed to be a formal, and if I read to you the amount of money they spent in inviting and discussing bringing these people from the mainland. Now, I got to plead with you. Am I overreacting? Is it my business to ask the question, why would you pay a company or companies to come to Hawaii to make an assessment, to charge more money, the end result, to do what a local company is already doing for three times or less than what is being proposed? And then you pay them to come over, and you pay $200 for a room, and you pay rental car, you pay airfare, you pay food, and you're spending about $15, depending on how long they stay. And we'll get to that. But again, what's the name of the white goods recycling company that you brought to H-Power sometime last year? I think you said they're based in Washington State. Folks, these guys spend our money like it's candy being tossed from a Christmas parade wagon. They're just throwing it around. So never mind wondering why the mayor is always on the TV and everybody's chasing the homeless, because he would be homeless if you knew how bad he was managing and the people that he has appointed were managing your money. See, I'm not mad that I can't defend the homeless people, but what I can try to do is convey to you the reality that the people that are bringing your attention to the homeless issues by showing up on TV night after night, week after week, and talking about we have to move them and have to clear this area, what they should be asked and held accountable for is, what about your failed policies? What about these monies that you are sucking and diverting? And what about these monies that you're squandering in airfare for companies that you once say that they're viable, but then you learn that they're really not viable? They don't even exist in any business anymore within a short period of a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So did they get a free ride? I don't know the details, but all I could find, this is an email here, all I could find was so far were the Covanta folks, Robert Blendon. Does anyone remember the name of the National White Goods? Now, folks, there is about 12 emails back and forth asking the same thing. So you would think something of this nature, they would have good records because they're asking this company who is just soliciting and going to bill out-of-state people. So you would think they'd know their background, their longevity, or can we depend on them? Will they default? And I'm going to show you how reckless the city is with our money and how loose they are with our money. So please attach scanned business cards for Jayco. I don't know what happened. I sent this on. The way they write is it says should be please attach the scanned business card. I will reach out to Mike Jacobson to see if I can't get in touch with him. So I'm having to sort through all these, the same message. I'm trying to reach out to Steve today for information, but I believe the traveling, he is traveling on, okay. What is the name of the white goods recycling? Now, this is, again, that's all they do, sit around and scratch their heads. Don't they make notes? So, big bucks, folks, flowing in the hands over there at Covanta through the city and county of Honolulu. Their invoice for RFP, let me read you. Task number one, list of potential service providers. To put together a list of potential providers of this service, the contractor was paid $7,217 or charged. And they show that in this report, what 80% of that performance was complete of that project. Total prepare proposal criteria and methodology for the project, $5,855. 65% of that was complete as by February 2017. Task participated in kickoff conference call with city staff, collected and compiled information on entities that potentially could prepare on the white goods. Yet, there is a company, as I speak to you, has the contract and has had the contract for years and has the expertise and is performing that contract for, I'm told, $11 plus 50 cents, $11.50 or something like that per unit. Yet the city is struggling to go out of its way to hunt and hustle people from the mainland that they think is a viable company, but when they learn later they're not viable, they don't exist. So how do we get past all of that with these are our monies that they are spending? And this is another email. Attaches a Cal recovery proposal to write the white goods recycling RFP for the solar building. I'd like to get everyone's input for reference, and also attaches a contract which describes their SOW or recycling contracts consultant. Again, folks, now I know if it was going to save us money, and let's say the solicitation abroad would find someone that is willing to do the work for $4 a unit opposed to $11 a unit, or where we found it beneficial to the taxpayer in the interest of serving the taxpayer, $7, $8 a unit, then I'd say go out of your way. But if there's one that's already in place that's local here, so follow this. If you think that I'm being irrational or mean-spirited about the mayor and what I say about him, every little bit helps or hurts. So if the mayor is willing to abandon a company that has, I don't know the number of employees at a local, let's say 15 workers, They're making a salary and all of that. Now, to go out and go abroad and solicit companies that are viable but not viable, and then in turn they're going to propose at a higher cost, then if that person were to get that contract, the foreign company gets the contract, that means the company that has the contract now, its employees will be out of a job. So there's 15 people. So there's 15 people that could be potentially living under a bridge, and then you will wake up the next morning on TV, there they are, oh, and the mayor crying, acting like Hitler's nephew, and behaving in a fashion with no sensitivity to these people, while all along failing to take care of the people's business where it really counts. You see, this is why I have very little love for this mayor. Not because he's a bad guy or I don't like him, but he's getting to be obnoxious with the behavior of beating back the homeless and not being held accountable. There should be nothing out of his mouth that we listen to, nothing about the rail. We should abandon him and actually see what we can do to get him out of office, because we're heading for a train wreck. But again, second, the process recovery is recommending that it and the city visit similar facilities that offers will be required to list as reference in their proposal for their past work. Now, you're creating a situation, and I know this is a process, but if it's not broken, let it be. If you're going to disrupt, now let me say this to you. The process of taking in a refrigerator or white good or stove or oven or dishwasher, they take it and there is metal in it that they recycle, and it's important metal to tin and what have you, to steel and, you know, and iron and aluminum and copper. So you take that, and the new proposal is to take MRFs, machines that are designed to, you dump it on the conveyor belt, and it sorts it out. So you'll need one or two people to run that machine. But we don't know the cost. Probably be a couple millions at a minimum. And so now there are these people that are working in this industry with the local company, and they're displaced, they're out of a job, and the mayor gets to own their future too, so when they show up. So the mayor is not really a good manager of people's money or people's interests. When I say the mayor, this is Mayor Caldwell. Now, to build this building, there was a subcontract, or a contract, let's just call it a contract. And this building, I'm going to read you a bit of a principal's letter. This is hiring a company to build this solar voltaic building, of some portions of it, if not all. Principal letter, this is March 29th, 2017. This is an example of to show you, and there are many others, that the mayor has no clue and he doesn't care about a clue. He wants to make big money for the boys that who own the land around the train stations and the train, the rail, so that they can make money in perpetuity leasing to small shops and hamburger joints and whatever businesses that go in, massage parlors and bookshops and all of that. See, they're going to lease that land to the business people, and they're going to make TOD. Ask Donovan De La Cruz, who so smoothly talk about TODs, Transit Orient Development. So this I don't know what you call it, but we'll go on. March 29, 2017. City and County of Honolulu, Department of Budget and Fiscal Services. This is who the letter is to. And it's from Travelers Casualty and Surety Company of America. Attention, Paul Harmon. Dear Mr. Wayne Hamada, by this letter, we request that you direct all further payments due now or in the future on the reference contract to the surety. These payments include all current and pending change orders, retainage, claims of our extras. Please forward all checks or vouchers payable to the principal to the surety at the following address. Now, what does that mean? That means the company defaulted. That one of the companies, and that company is Performance Systems, Inc. And they write, signed by Khalil Nawahini, who's the president, to the city on April 7th, City and County of Honolulu. This is a written notice to the City and County of Honolulu Department of Budget and Fiscal Services that the obligee and Travelers Casualty and Surety Company of America, that Performance Systems, Inc. is unable to complete its contract with the obligee for the solar building project, also known as the project. We are unable to fund the completion of our performance and pay the bills we have and are incurring on the project. Therefore, we are in default on the above reference project, both as performance and payment. As such, we irrevocably request and authorize both the obligee and the surety company to declare default, terminating our right to proceed under the contract. Also, we irrevocably authorize the surety to make whatever actions or take whatever actions the surety deems appropriate in its sole discretion to complete the project and resolve any payment claim. Subject to this and within terms of the general agreement of the indemnity previously signed by the principal, we expressly waive any written notice and cure period provisions of our contract with you, so a default termination is effective immediately. Performance Systems, Inc. by Khalil Nawahini, the president. Now, everybody have bad moments in business. Not a problem. But we're not speaking about the company. We're speaking about the inability of the mayor's staff and his groupie to be so cavalier with our money and so casual with our monies and our interests and our concerns, the taxpayer, that we have people on his staff that can't remember and don't bother to document who it is that they're negotiating with and don't remember their name and then speak to them as being viable and then to know that in the same sentence they're not viable because they've gone out of business. But we've spent money with them, on them, and in this effort. So, again, is it a distraction? I mean, to place the homeless on the front page and quote the mayor and quote his assistant, and Ross Satsumura, you see. I'd like to ask Ross Satsumura, for example, explain to me about your relationship with the driving ed school for commercial trucking. That's, for me, is a burning question. You see, is there, and I'm not saying there is, but I would like to know about all of these things. But again, you can't get to the mayor and you can't get straight answers because he has his guards and little goons at the gate delaying and refusing to treat your request with respect for public records or public information. But oh boy, you'll find them out there on the line battling the homeless people. So again, how is it that we can tolerate this practice, repeated practice, one after the other, failed policies, bad administrative practices, poor management, poor budgeting, wedding ourselves with companies that don't exist or not viable, and spending money for them people to come and travel and look at beautiful Hawaii, and then learn that the contract is on hold because of what was being proposed, because the contractor or the parties building the building has defaulted. How does that play in the scheme of the overall scheme of things for the government, for the city and county of Honolulu? And so it's disheartening. I can't tell you that I'm right, but it sure sends up a reason to be alarmed that we see these things over and over and over. If you remember the audit, for example, that talked about H Power and that was conducted, where there was bills being paid that they weren't required to show receipts, and many other problems that existed. So it's about just common sense escaping everyone. The mayor is so preoccupied with getting money and carrying out this lie that's called the rail, is that basically anything is broken. Our sewers are broken. We have sewage spills. You would think he would issue some mandate, retrain his people, make an assessment, instead of getting fancy to build more H power. And the solar building would have been just great, letting the white goods process be done. You still cannot use it for certain things in processing and municipal waste. So what you're going to end up, what you would end up doing is placing another cost on the homeowners and people, the citizens of this state, and dealing with their rubbish. So I was trying to find the actual emails here that talk about them coming to the state and the money. It makes you here is, if travel is allowable, can you please advise how they might include their proposal, included in their proposal? The travel per diem rates and the proposal are low. Would it be allowable for them to propose rates for traveling, flight, lodging, meals, car rental? My guess is that they would need to be here for a total of 4 days between two trips. And they go on to talk about how much it would cost and what have you. And we're paying to have it put together. So what do the city workers do? We hire a contractor to put together an RFP, to put together a list of people that could potentially compete for the job. Isn't that funny? So what does the city workers do? Write down notes and then don't keep them? Can't find who they talk to? Don't know who they talk to? Can't judge companies when they can read their background and just go on their state secretaries of each state and find out the standings, if the company is in good standings? Or simply ask the company itself, send us a certificate of what your status is. Are you in good standings? We don't need to, and send your proposal if you want to propose. But see, when you're trying to build it for, you can eliminate other people from being involved and not trying to take away a contract from someone, you squeeze them. And you put conditions on them, and you don't even, I was talking to the local provider here. They weren't even put on the list or weren't contacted in the solicitation. So this is something that I know it's foreign to many of you out there, and we've talked about it on occasion, and it sounds unimportant, possibly. But I will say to you that when you see things like this, here's an email. Hi, Lisa. The per diem rate for lodging is unreasonably low. I just did an online search for rooms in Honolulu, and unless we expect the consultant to stay in a hostel, an allowable per diem for lodging really needs to be $200 at a minimum. At minimum. The contractor may not have raised an issue with the rates in their proposal, because if they've never been here, they may not know how expensive commercial lodging can be. Now, why would we hire or solicit and propose to do business with any company that's dumb enough and does not have the common sense to, if they're going to put in a bid for their costs and they're a profit company, for a profit company, why would we hire them if they're too dumb to do their own research before they submit an application or a proposal and say they live in Mississippi? And they're going to go and put, you know, you would think common sense would prevail. So why is it that the city is having to babysit an entity that is not viable and don't exist? So the contract may not have raised it in issues with the rates in their proposal, because if they never knew. So hotel rates on Oahu, found this article, they say, so add another $50, so it would be about $250 on average. That's what she's stating. And this company, in addition to meals and flights, we also need to allow for car rental. I understand that travel was not anticipated and that there are travel rates in the proposal. This is the first time we're in contracting for this type of service, so apologies for confusion, but hopefully the agreement is flexible enough to accommodate these items. Please let me know if it's acceptable to have the contractor submit SOW. Folks, why are we babysitting and holding contractor private entities by the hand, walking them up to our ATM machine, the public ATM machine, and say, just hit that button right there. Oh, is that enough? Oh, that's not enough? Okay, we'll hit it again. Is that enough? Oh, it's not enough? Oh, okay, well, hit it again, and if that don't work, then we'll make out, we'll compensate you later in another way. This is city business, folks, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you that if you have paid a consultant to put together a list of people or companies that would be interested in competing for a certain task here in Honolulu, then you should be expecting that company to be reasonable and smart enough to go and look to see of its total cost, how much manpower per hour, what are they doing, what cost is it going to cost them, and then you're building your profit and what have you, and then you're going to travel there. Well, if you're going to travel, we need to know how much does the market request or require for us to go there and stay. But no, the city and county of Honolulu, the mayor's administrative people, don't task them. They go and do it themselves and then tell them how much they should charge. That says that they got more money than sense, or more sense than sense. I don't know how you would put it, but it's painful, folks, to see this, and it's not all about the environment. I mean, there are telltale signs out there that can help you judge how well is this mayor doing, what are the fallacies, what lies is he telling, how often does he tell them. I mean, I think he has a new nose. He had to go to a plastic surgeon and get it cut down some, shaved down some, because nothing. He quietly steps around the solar voltaic building. In this day and age, you would think that that would be the flagship of a facility talking about sustainable energy, green energy, all of that in one ball of wax. And you haven't heard a peep from this mayor. You wonder why. Is he ashamed of his handlings and the way his people deal with issues? Because if you bring attention and boast how great it is, then you'll bring attention and people will start scrutinizing that project. I don't know. But it's a shame that we, you and me, the common people, can allow this mayor and his practices to fester and become pulsy. And then in turn, we don't do anything. We sit back. And then when there's a call for voting, you go down, or you don't bother to go down, because they're going to take care of it. Got to get out of that mode, folks. With all the things encroaching on your lifestyles and your well-being, our children's well-being, our environment well-being, it's in your hands, believe it or not. You may not recognize it, but it's in your hands. But if you cause yourself to make an excuse not to get involved and vote, and only vote for those guys that are good guys, and he's a nice guy, and I know him. Well, you don't know him, because nobody gets in an office and stays there when they lie to you and say it's 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, no, 4 billion, now 5 billion, no, 6 billion, now 8 billion, 7 billion, no, 20 billion, and we sit back as if someone's going to ring a bell and say, you got it. You finally got the point. We're hurting, folks, and I don't mean to be an alarmist, and I hope that you understand that the next time you see your mayor and his goon squad, and I know they're doing their job, what they're paid to do, moving and hurting and disrespecting and seizing illegally the properties of people because it's unsightly and because it's not safe, because it's trespassing. Then if it's trespassing on private property, let the private property owner handle it. Let the city go back to managing its resources, being more consistent and predictable and handling and efficient on their management of the monies that we do have. Quit showboating the homeless and victimizing them, because at some point there's something's going to pop and you're going to see a groundswell of people on the roads and on the streets. And I predict in the next 2 years, at the current pace that we're going, unless you, the voter, get your heads out of the sand. You thought I was going to say something else, but I wouldn't do that to you on Sunday morning. Wouldn't be right. But get your heads out of the sand. There is no saint going to ride up on a white pony and give you the magic wave and the magic word. And I say this because I see a lot of you, and I talk to a lot of you, and you ask, well, what are we going to do about this, and what are we going to do about that? And I think we ought to abandon the French approach and quit asking, what are we? And go back to the American and ask, what are you going to do? Oui, monsieur? I don't know, madame. But my point is, if you and I continue to watch this thing play out, the people that get up and mow their lawns and clip their hedges and on their own and having a beautified place, you might be threatened too. Because Ron Coche, Psyche, and the others over there called the state legislator got you their sights trained on you. Everything's on the table. And ultimately, you're going to pay for their play. So we'll see you next week, and don't hesitate to call me at 782-6627 or go to carolcox.com and look up, or if you want to see the earlier reports on the solar voltaic building, go to carolcox.com, Google solar voltaic city H power, and don't forget to go to ThinkTech Hawaii, and I encourage all of you, there's an enlightenment there that is much of information. And many of you, I say this because many of you like me, we say that there is not enough news on the airwaves. And yet, here's another option we have. So join in. It won't cost you anything, just a few push of buttons, and you'll be amazed that it's an outlet. It's an exchange of information. So again, you can catch me on ThinkTech Hawaii on every other Tuesday at 12 o'clock live, and then you can get it on demand. Or go to Olelo at Channel 54 on Sundays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock on Sundays, 7 o'clock on Thursdays. So thank you for joining in, and I appreciate all of you listening, and I hope that I didn't depress you. If I did, go get some medicine now, because you may not be able to get it later. You won't have Medicare or Medicaid. Okay? So we'll be back next week, and so thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. I'm Jay Fidel, CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com. Aloha, I'm Jay Fidel.
World and all its people, all the wonders love can bring, give us strength and understanding, give us all one song to sing. Let the music play.
Heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.